A third COVID-19 vaccine is on its way to health clinics today after the CDC approved over the weekend Johnson & Johnson's application for emergency use. The company is promising to deliver 20 million doses by the end of March, with shots beginning as soon as tomorrow in some states. For more on what this means for the overall vaccination effort, let's bring in Dr. Amesh Adalja. He's a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins University Center for Health and Security. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Doctor, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine differs from the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines already in use because it only requires one shot and can be stored in a refrigerator. How big of a deal is this approval?
It's a major big deal. This is a vaccine that is much easier to give because, like you said, it doesn't require very strenuous cold storage, and it's a single-dose vaccine. It's one and done, so you don't have to have all that consternation about second-dose scheduling and missing your second dose or delaying your second dose. All of that evaporates with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, so this is an exciting development in the war on COVID.
So far, more than 75 million doses have been administered here in the U.S., but there are still major concerns about supply and distribution. How far is this third approval actually going to solve those problems?
It eventually will be a major part of the solution, but right now, over the next couple of months, it's not going to probably have a major impact. There's probably about 3.9 million doses that are going to be delivered this week, and then it's going to take some time to ramp up. So we won't see a major surge in vaccinations just because of this in the short term. But as we get further along, I do think that this vaccine, along with the others, Pfizer, Moderna, plus a few others that are waiting in the wings, such as the AstraZeneca and Novavax vaccine, are going to get us to herd immunity. But we're going to get benefits even before then. We're already starting to see benefits with nursing home cases and deaths going down. As we get our vulnerable populations protected, you're going to see less pressure on hospitals. We won't be worrying about hospital capacity. We'll have basically tamed the virus from the ability to cause serious disease, hospitalization, and death. And I think that's going to usher in a wave of optimism, as well as allow a lot more flexibility and social distancing recommendations.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the efficacy of this Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Some people have actually shared concerns that it might be less effective, but clinical trials for those vaccines were conducted differently than some of the others. Here's Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press.
I think people need to get vaccinated as quickly and as expeditiously as possible. And if I would go to a place where they had J&J, I would have no hesitancy whatsoever to take it.
Okay, is he right? Are those shots all equally good? Does it actually matter which one you get?
No, it doesn't matter which one you get. They are all equally good when it comes to what matters. And what matters is serious illness, hospitalization, and death. And they all are tremendous when it comes to those outcomes. And that's the whole reason why we actually developed a vaccine against COVID-19, because we were trying to defang it, make it unable to cause the serious illness that brought it to our attention, and make it more like other respiratory viruses that we deal with on a year in and year out basis. COVID's not going to be eliminated. It's not going to go away. But what we're going to do is remove its ability to cause serious disease and compromise hospital capacity. It's also important to remember, don't compare the vaccines like apples to apples, because they were in multiple different trials. They were never studied head to head, and they were all done at different timelines and different parts of the world. So you can't really look at these numbers and say, oh, this number is bigger than this number, therefore this vaccine is better, when you're looking at symptomatic disease or those efficacy numbers people keep throwing around. So just get whatever vaccine is available to you, and it will be the path to you reclaiming your life and the world ending this pandemic.
You know, we mentioned the Johnson & Johnson vaccine requires only the one shot and doesn't need this extra cold storage. And at least one CDC reviewer this weekend said those features specifically might actually make it easier to vaccinate groups disproportionately affected by the pandemic, including people with limited access to health care and people who live in rural areas. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do, because you can take a vaccine like this and put it very near the population. You don't have to have people getting vaccinated at a place where they have cold storage. You also don't necessarily have to have that 15-minute waiting period, because we saw some allergic reactions after the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine. So this is something you could really roll out in a mass vaccination manner, in a way that could even include mobile units that go door to door. This can really be used more like a traditional vaccine. And I do think it's going to be important for rural populations where they may not have a place to get vaccinated, or people that are that can't take the time off from work to schedule or don't have the time to do all of that. All of that makes it much easier when you have a single dose vaccine like this. You're one and done and you can go about your life. I think that that's a real huge advantage in the United States, and it will also be so in the world.
The number of new COVID-19 cases in the U.S. has fallen to about where it was in October. We just recently received that news, down drastically from this peak we saw in early January. But today, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky said she's concerned that the number of new cases appears to have leveled off instead of continuing to decrease. Are you actually worried where the pandemic goes from here?
I want to get a little bit more information. We've had about a week or so of data. I'd like to see probably 2 weeks of data to see if this is really a slowing of the decline or a plateauing that's occurred. But clearly, we are plateauing. If we are plateauing at 70,000 cases a day, that's still a lot. But I would just caveat that with the fact that if we can get our vulnerable populations protected, nursing home residents, community dwelling people with high risk conditions, we're much less concerned about that number of cases. At least I'm not, but I am, because it's not going to be something that can threaten hospital capacity again, because our people who get hospitalized, like nursing home residents, have been vaccinated so heavily. I think it's important to remember we're not going to get to COVID zero. I don't know what level this we're going to eventually plateau to, but the virus is still going to be around years from now. It's just not going to be able to cause disease. So we have to figure out where that place is going to be, that set point. And I think the one variable that's likely driving the CDC's concern is the fact that there are these more contagious variants out there, and we're trying to stay ahead of them. But the way to stay ahead of them is to continue doing what we're doing with the face masks and wearing and washing your hands and avoiding crowded and congregated places, but to greatly accelerate vaccination programs. We can't have vaccines sitting on shelves, and we know some states still have vaccine on shelves.
Dr. Amish Adalja is a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins University Center for Health Security. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.